and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Vatican says Pope Francis has pneumonia on top of asthmatic bronchitis. CBS's Anna Matranga is in Rome, where the Pope has been hospitalized since Friday.
The Vatican says the Pope remains in good spirits and is grateful for the prayers offered for his recovery.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio has briefed European ministers on his talks today with Russian officials about ending the war in Ukraine. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was part of the U.S. delegation.
This needs to be a permanent end to the war and not a temporary end as we've seen in the past.
European and Ukrainian officials are outraged they were left out of the talks. Much of the country is in a deep freeze. Parts of the upper Midwest never climbed above zero today. Eric is in Bowman, North Dakota.
I'm kind of used to it for the most part. So I usually just can get away with just wearing two coats and walking out there, wear a jacket, then a coat over.
Snow will fall in the mid-Atlantic region tomorrow. Some areas could get several inches. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news? You've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Badgers host Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, men's college basketball. It's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players and coaches' contracts. Baseball. Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortes is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, you know, so many years in another organization, gold glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want, so I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortes with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Feeling very frigid today, with high temperatures only climbing to the single digits and wind chills knocking us back to really feeling near 10 below as the warmest of the day. Turning dangerously cold overnight again tonight, it'll be feeling about 20 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 6 degrees.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
stars, the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores! Badgers answer right back!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll have the day's first reaction to the budget address by Governor Tony Evers and the result of Tuesday's primary election for state superintendent.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
What's up, everybody? It is 3:06 on this very cold Tuesday afternoon here in Wisconsin and beyond. Hello. I hope your day is going well. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am watching on CNN right now the image of Marco Rubio and a couple of other American diplomats, Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, and some Russian diplomats all discussing Ukraine. Weird. Ukraine not at the table. Not at the table. Just a very weird image. Of course, including the infamous Sergei Lavrov, if you forget, Donald Trump, you know, maybe leaking some national secrets to Mr. Lavrov during his first administration. Might want to Google that as well. So what is all of this about? We spent the first hour today talking about the abomination that was J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference last week. So what is all of this moving towards? What is the point? Because we can see Russia taking an increasingly aggressive stance, basically to disrupt all of what I thought were U.S. allies in Western Europe, to disrupt their democratic systems, to sow division amongst their people. And it includes not just misinformation and bots posting stuff in the information sewers that are social media, of course, but it is corruption of media, which we are seeing in part in the United States. We're seeing corruption in politics. Out-and-out bribery, like what's the quid pro quo for Donald Trump getting into some sort of alliance for political and economic opportunities with Russia? Opportunities that produce for whom and at what cost? But Russia is also engaging in increasing levels of sabotage and cyber attacks and even assassination attempts in mainland Europe. We've been warned about this for years. Our intelligence agencies have been warning us, and yet this is our new alliance, the Russia-U.S. alliance with Vladimir Putin. So my question is this, to each and every one of you, including conservatives, does the Trump administration hold a genuine belief that not just short-term American interests or short-term Donald Trump interests, but that long-term interests of the United States and what we have always stood for, which is in the hopes of more transparent, more efficient and effective government, a more vibrant democracy, the respect of human rights, that those long-term American interests, which I believe we fought in World War II to protect and defend, are best served by the United States forging an alliance with one of the world powers that for the entire time Vladimir Putin has been in control of Russia has sought to undermine every single one of those values? I mean, what's the end game here? Is this so Donald Trump can throw up a tower in Moscow or St. Petersburg? Is it because of some comp robot? I mean, this is beyond any of that. What's the selling point to the American public? Because you can't make an argument that Vladimir Putin stands for the dignity of all human beings, tolerance, respect, free speech, freedom of the press. He stands for none of those things. I just don't get it. Why is this convergence of racist, sexist, xenophobic, white power, oppression, misogynistically faux interpretations of Christianity and fascism all wielded by this wannabe dictator who openly embraces Nazi language, symbolism, and imagery, and his billionaire overlord who does the same, aligning with neo-Nazi parties across Europe? What's the goal? Where are we going? Do they really think that they're going to get rid of the constitutional amendment that gave women the right to vote? Do they really think they're going to be able to purge women and people of color from every position, every job that we've got? Do they really think the American public is going to be okay with internment camps? Or is this, like, if this is some sort of, I don't know, wrestling-esque performance to simply amass power and wealth, this is one of the most coldly calculated, cynical political movements in history. Because at the end of that political calculation are real lives and real democracies and our actual allies. And this isn't about, well, maybe we should spend less in foreign aid. Like, we can have that debate. These are fundamental questions about what values do Americans believe in. And we're bearing witness to a political party saying we're going to rewrite those values. And that those values, if you don't share our interpretation of those values, you no longer have a place in the United States. And not just you no longer have a place in the United States, you don't have a place anywhere. And we're seeing this bear out in real time in many different ways every day. But the one that I wanted to spend this hour talking with each and every one of you about are the mass resignations that are happening in the Department of Justice. One of the guardrails that we have in our country is the good faith and the oaths taken by government lawyers, especially prosecutors. And we are watching prosecutors, seasoned civil servants, conservatives, people that you can just guess are Republican, and I'll get to how you know that in a second, resign from some of the most important positions of power within our federal prosecutors' offices. The two most important prosecutors' offices in the country are the Southern District of New York and the D.C. Circuit. And that is where we are seeing the resignations come from now. In the immediate term, to each and every one of you out there that's thinking, I agree with you, Maggie, what are we going to do about this? The first thing to do is make sure that you voted today, that you are registered to vote, and that you show up on April 1st to vote in the general election. I want to give shout outs to Dick from Madison, Sue from Franklin, Jude from East Troy, Mark from Sussex, Kyle from Luxembourg, Randy O. from Stoughton, Brian from Milwaukee, Jim from Brookfield, and everyone else who has been texting to confirm that they indeed voted today. Thank you all. Please, if you haven't had a chance yet, go do that. I want to tell you a little bit about Danielle Sassoon, who was the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who resigned last week and refused to dismiss charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. What kind of charges? The most serious kind that an elected official can be charged with, which is basically fraud and corruption. Taking bribes, illegal campaign donations in exchange for favor trading. You know, corruption. You give me money and things and help me win elections and I'll do you favors. It's the, like, ask a third grader what they might think corruption would be and they'd probably come up with that answer. Danielle Sassoon is, by every nominal measure that you can look for, a Republican. How do you know this? Because of who she clerked for. She clerked for the Honorable Harvey Wilkinson III on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, and then Antonin Scalia. You don't get to clerk for a like the most conservative Supreme Court justice if you do not have conservative bona fides. You can't base it just on the circuit court clerk, because I clerked for a Republican appointee, very conservative judge. But you know it from the Reagan appointment. Or excuse, not the Reagan appointment, the Scalia clerkship. The other guy who got a ton of press from his resignation is a guy by the name of Hagan Scotton. He was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Southern District. He's a decorated Iraq war veteran, went to Harvard Law School, and he clerked for Chief Justice John Roberts and for Brett Kavanaugh when he was on the appeals court bench. So let's get this straight. These are not some like lurking Democrats trying to muck about and impede the Trump administration's policy agenda. These are deeply conservative individuals. These were two of the folks who resigned. I'm going to get to a couple of really important points from their resignation letters in a moment. But I wanted to share this about my background as a government lawyer. Every single person who works in government, but most especially government lawyers, we all have our personal political beliefs. We all do. But most of us, I'd say by far the vast majority of us, take our oath to the state and federal constitutions very clearly, and we take our job duties to be impartial, to be objective, to not let our personal political beliefs enter into our decision-making just as seriously. Without this basic idea, which I think we all should be able to agree about, especially when you're talking about prosecutors, that departures from that, no matter whether it's coming from a Trump administration, a Republican administration, or a Democratic administration, are really bad for democracy. That criminal prosecutions, or lack thereof, should not be determined by political favor trading or the politics of the would-be defendant. With that value in mind, I'm going to tell you at least one story about when that principle was tested for me and how alarming I find the language coming from these resignations and what it tells us about our present minute and moment. You're going to want to keep it locked. We'll be right back here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I feel the earth. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to give props to one of our newest texters, Chris from Blue River. He was the number one voter, voter number one, this morning at 7 a.m., congrats, Chris, for getting out there and getting it done. I love it. Mark from Prairie du Sac also voted already. Newer texter from the 262 voted. Let's see. Charles from Milwaukee. He and his wife got the vote done. Congratulations to everyone for getting your vote done and being part of this democratic process. We are talking about a subversion of democratic processes that is going on as commanded by the Trump administration. If you want to know what the corruption of the Justice Department looks like, you need only look for you need look no further than the prosecution of Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, and not really his prosecution, but the request to dismiss charges. I've been talking about two of the lawyers that have resigned in protest. Now apparently reporting today that in a matter unrelated to the Adams prosecution, another attorney in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office resigning. I'm going to tell you a little story about that in a moment. Here's what is extremely concerning about the Adams case. Emil Bovey, who is, or Bove, is the second in command of the U.S. Department of Justice, right under Pam Bondi. He apparently wrote a memo to the Southern District of New York and said, here are my reasons for why this prosecution should be dismissed. They're all garbage. But one of his justifications actually cut in exactly the opposite direction. He analogized this dismissal of charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams like the hostage exchange between Russia and the United States to get Brittany Griner back. I want you all to like think about this for a minute. Forget parties. Forget the politics. Using your good old thinking caps and common sense, how would it be in any way? What possible connections would there be between two foreign powers, at least up until today, adversaries, negotiating a prisoner swap, which is the very, I don't know, like the very literal embodiment of quid pro quo, embodiment, literal meaning, pun intended. How would that bear any resemblance in a good, healthy, democratic way to an administration dismissing charges in exchange for a mayor exerting whatever political influence he has to help the administration accomplish its policy preferences. How is that a good analogy? It's not. It's the worst analogy that you can imagine. It's an explicit admission that it was quid pro quo. And by the way, the fact that the request for Eric Adams' charges to be dismissed was without prejudice, which is the fancy legal term, meaning we can file them again, makes it even worse. It's like Trump is saying to Eric Adams, listen, you're going to do everything I say about immigration. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Not a whit of disagreement ever. I want you hitting my talking points every day. I want you marshaling up New York police officers. Get them off the street. Actually worried about, you know, crime in New York City. And I want you to deputize them as ICE agents. And I want you to conduct raids on my behalf. And if you ever deviate one little bit from my directions on any of this, well, then I'll direct my Department of Justice under Emile Bove and Pam Bondi to refile these criminal charges against you. It's like a looming extortionary force over Eric Adams' head. More breaking news on this very subject. Four New York City deputy mayors resigned from the Adams administration amid growing turmoil in City Hall. This is what the dismantling of democratic norms does. It creates absolute no bottom. Here's the acting U.S. attorney in her resignation letter. This should be called out for what it is, an improper offer of immigration enforcement assistance in exchange for dismissal of his case. Yeah. She goes on to say, the generalized concerns you expressed, Mr. Bove, are not a basis to dismiss an indictment returned by a duly constituted grand jury, at least where, as here, the government has no doubt in its evidence or the integrity of an investigation. She goes on and drops the bomb that, of course, we have proposed a superseding indictment, meaning a new indictment that would actually add an obstruction conspiracy count based on evidence that Adams destroyed and instructed others to destroy evidence and provide false information to the FBI. It goes on and on and on. She ends with this statement. I remain baffled by the rushed and superficial process by which this decision was reached in seeming collaboration with Adams' counsel and without my direct input on the ultimate stated rationales for dismissal. By the way, neither Pam Bondi nor Emile Bove found it necessary to meet with the acting U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York about their directive to dismiss these charges. Here's what Hagan Scotton said about this. There is a tradition in public service of resigning in a last-ditch effort to head off a serious mistake. Any U.S. attorney would know that our laws and traditions do not allow using the prosecutorial power to influence other citizens, much less elected officials, in this way. If no lawyer within earshot of the president is willing to give him that advice, then I expect that you will eventually find someone who is enough of a fool or enough of a coward to file your motion, but it was never going to be me. We come back. I'll tell you what the stakes are for these people that are resigning, why these decisions were absolutely some of the most agonizing that these people have ever made in their professional careers, and why this is a warning signal, loud and clear, to every single last one of us. My name is Maggie Dawn. We're going to take more of your calls and texts when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you'll be up first. All over, all over, all over.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
in recent times, one of the biggest concerns for the food industry is the egg shortage that is coupled with the price increase. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and with me is Susan Quam, the Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Restaurants Association, to explain what their supply chain looks like compared to a grocery store.
The supply chain for eggs for the restaurant industry is a little different than that for the grocery stores, just because they're packaged different. So not every egg facility packages for restaurants. So it's a limited number of facilities that can do that. If they're experiencing a specific shortage, or depending on where, you know, some of the bird flu flock situations have occurred, that is definitely making this a regional issue for a lot of operators. Now, obviously, across the supply chain, we've seen a minimum of a 45% to 50% increase in prices just in the last 12 months.
Quam also says that the restaurant industry itself has seen a 200% price increase for eggs over the last 2 years. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yankee, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and now it's time to take a look at some agriculture news. Recently, Blaine's Farm and Fleet has been named as one of America's best large employers for 2025 by Forbes, finishing second for large employers in Wisconsin and 23rd overall for large employers nationwide. In other news, the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation is encouraging its members to apply for their $20,000 worth of scholarships for the 2025-2026 academic year. With a look at your agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Feeling very frigid today, with high temperatures only climbing to the single digits and wind chills knocking us back to really feeling near 10 below as the warmest of the day. Turning dangerously cold overnight again tonight, it'll be feeling about 20 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will be delivering his 2025-2027 biennial budget message to a joint session of our state's legislature. His speech starts at 7. Our civic media coverage of this event begins at 6:50. You're not going to want to miss it. Our team will also be around after the governor is done speaking with a breakdown of the priorities the governor has articulated this evening, along with updates, of course, from the spring primary election that is taking place today as well. If you don't know if you're registered and you still want to get your vote in, go to myvote.wi.gov. Don't worry, you have plenty of time. And we still have same-day registration here in the state of Wisconsin. And you've got until 8 p.m. to get in line to cast your ballot. Please, please do so. Want to give a shout-out to Kelly in Madison. She got her voting done. And to one of our newish texters from the 608, giving us all a little reminder to take your time with the ballot. The big vote that is on this primary ballot is for the state superintendent of public instruction. Carefully read it, because we have two J's on the ballot. We've got Jeff and Jill. So make sure you get the right J when you fill out your ballot. If you do make a mistake, just ask to talk to one of the election workers. They can, quote, spoil a ballot. It gets torn in half and you are reissued a new ballot. That ballot number is recorded, etc. I want to share, we're talking about the Thursday night massacre, the resignations of seven lawyers across the Southern District of New York, as well as a lawyer who resigned from Mr. Bove's office. So not in the SDNY, working directly in the Deputy Attorney General's office, a guy by the name of Nicholas Ruse also resigning. We now have four officials from New York City Mayor Eric Adams' office resigning, saying they cannot fulfill their oaths of office as they are being asked by Mayor Adams not to criticize President Donald Trump's administration on policies that conflict with their work, according to sources with the matter. Got a great tip from one of our texters as well, asking me whether a judge has blocked the dismissal of the Eric Adams prosecution that was directed by Pam Bondi, Donald Trump, and Emile Bove. I want to be really clear here. A federal judge cannot block a prosecution's office request for a dismissal. They can just determine whether it is with or without prejudice. That hearing is going to happen tomorrow, but the judge has directed Mr. Adams, Mayor Adams, as well as officials from the Department of Justice to show up and explain themselves. So I will be talking about that tomorrow in between all of our other amazing Wisconsin coverage that we're going to have tomorrow, which includes the governor's budget address, the Burka Biner. We're going to talk about the primary ballots and, of course, billionaires. Oh, my. This is also some breaking news. My thanks to my senior producer, Jamie, helping me stay on top of all of this. A federal judge declined on Tuesday to temporarily block Elon Musk and his Department of Government efficiency from accessing federal data systems at a slew of executive branch agencies. This is from Judge Chutkan. This is an early blow to efforts by a group of Democratic state attorneys general, I believe Josh Call is among them, to hamstring Musk and Doge as they undertake efforts to upend the federal workforce. This will not be the last say in this. There will be more coming on this. You may see different plaintiffs, maybe some federal employees themselves. You may also see more specific cases challenging particular access points. Here is a judge derided by Trump for the way that she handled his criminal prosecutions, actually, you know, following her good faith interpretation of the law and refusing to grant what was a temporary injunction. Funny how that judicial independence and actually taking your oath seriously works for both sides. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. I wanted to share with you all how incredible what we're witnessing is. Great comments on Facebook. If you want to watch me rather than listen to me, you can watch me on Facebook, X and Instagram at Maggie Dawn Show. Civic Media also has its own YouTube channel. Want to thank the people that are participating on those outlets for participating. One person pointed out, why are people resigning? Why aren't they forcing the firings? Oftentimes, the firing can be spun. If you resign, you kind of claim the narrative a bit. It's also showing that you do not believe that you can execute direct orders that are being given to you by a superior. That is what happened in the case of the Southern District of New York. Interestingly enough, in response to these resignations and to the resignation of the assistant, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who was put in that position by the Trump administration, just in case you were keeping track. The Department of Justice has done what? Oh, it's launched an investigation of all of these people. Those folks who work in the Department of Justice, especially those who have jobs in the Southern District of New York and the D.C. U.S. Attorney's offices, these are the two most powerful U.S. attorney's offices in the country. And these are jobs of these lawyers' lifetimes. You heard me give you part of the resumes of a couple of these people. These are Supreme Court clerks. Those two individuals clerking for two of the most conservative justices on the court, or that were on the court. These are jobs that people work incredibly hard to get, that are considered to be the top of the pyramid of lawyering. And these are not jobs that lawyers will resign from at the drop of a hat, or because they have some sort of spat with a manager. It just doesn't happen. These are some of the most coveted jobs in all of the practice of law. Even more coveted and even harder to get than those posh jobs at the fancy pants law firms in Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. and L.A. These are people who believe very deeply in what they do. Resigning in this way by this many people, now spreading to the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, now spreading to Mayor Eric Adams' office, while not federal prosecutors, you know, working in the mayor's office for the New York City mayor is probably, you know, on the political spectrum, about one notch down from working in the White House. That's how seriously these people believe their integrity has been compromised. We will probably not see anything like this again in our lifetimes. And maybe it gets worse in this Trump administration before it gets better. But God help us if we ever see anything get this bad in another president's administration. And by the way, who do you think are the two offices when it comes to federal prosecutions that handle the vast majority of wrongdoing by the billionaire elites in this country and the vast majority of political corruption cases? Might that be the Southern District of New York and the D.C. Circuit? Yeah, you'd be correct. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of my background and how intense the pressure can get. And I was just the top lawyer from Milwaukee County. And nothing I'm going to say here is privileged or confidential information. All of this is in the public record. When I was hired to become Milwaukee County's top lawyer, the two branches of government in Milwaukee County, the executive branch, the county executive's office, and the legislature, were in open warfare. They were actually suing each other. What were they suing each other about? The separation of powers. And at the root of the dispute were a number of questions about who gets to hire and fire and decide the compensation of certain high-level employees within Milwaukee County, people appointed by the county executive. And in addition, does the county executive's office need the approval of the legislature to buy and sell public lands, to hire contractors? Is it just contracts over a certain dollar? There are a whole bunch of questions. Does any of this sound a little familiar to you? And it was my job to come in and help clarify those matters. And I will just tell you this. I was asked to give an opinion on an issue in an open public hearing in front of the entire county board. And my legal opinion at that time was that that was not a particular power that was the legislature's. So I was telling the county board, no, that's not your power. That is the county executive's power. And no, you don't get to do anything about it. It's his and his alone to execute. And in that public meeting, my job was threatened. The chairman of the county board looked at me and said, if that is your opinion, Corporation Counsel Dawn, this means war. These were not unique moments. I worked for Milwaukee County through an incredible period of governmental unrest, both within the microcosm of Milwaukee County, but also broadly. It was during Trump's first term. I had clients that disagreed all the time about what the right course of action was. And many applied all kinds of political pressure to me in my position. And the only way I was able to do that job, to whatever small impact I may have had, was because every day I knew that I would go into the office, I would do my very best, and I would do it objectively and professionally, and that my opinion and my advice would never change depending on who asked me. And in my near 15 years of public service, what I can share with you is this: there is simply no other way to do those jobs. That if you try to put your finger on the scales, to situationally interpret things, to maybe partially share with your bosses or elected officials, it leads to a place of relativism that undermines the very democratic systems that you sign up to serve and protect, and the citizens and residents who are ultimately the ones who deserve your objectivity and your independence. And so I knew very well on a day-to-day basis that my job could be taken away. But when I signed up to do that work, I knew that that was part of the deal. So whether by resignation or termination, it is incumbent upon every single official in the Trump Department, in the Trump Department of Justice, and across every Trump executive branch agency to do their jobs without political favor or preference. It's the only way to do the work. All right, folks, we're going to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back and we're going to finish up with your calls and texts. Thanks to everybody. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more on the Maggie Dawn Show after these brief messages.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Southwood County YMCA is a cause-driven nonprofit organization committed to enhancing our communities in spirit, mind, and body. Beyond serving as a fitness center, they prioritize youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. The Y is an essential component of the community where they empower others to enhance a collective strength. Make unforgettable memories at the Southwood County YMCA. Experience the excitement of pool parties and adventure center parties. Check their availability and create a spectacular event that matters.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underle is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underle or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
When it rains, I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I
welcome back. Thanks to everybody listening with me and participating with me this afternoon on this edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You got Dom Salvia coming up next. I might be hanging around for a little overtime with Dom Salvia. If you would like to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in on this program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, thanks for your patience, sir. What say you?
Well, when you were talking about these different judges and everything holding the line so far, the only thing that scares me, Maggie, is this. All these hacks that are replacing people. And, like, for instance, this isn't in a judge area, but it's going to be very, very important going forward. This new person that they're going to assign to the FCC is scarier than hell. You know, yeah. I'd be watching your backside as far as being on the air. They are not. And then you talked earlier about the Russian situation in Ukraine and where we're at. Where are we at? We've got three different presidents, Hegstedt, the vice president, and Trump. Last week, the vice president said that we'd be willing to send troops if the Russians don't, you know, allow this to go on peacefully.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's just the opposite. I mean, if I'm a foreign country, I'm sitting here scratching my head going, who the hell are we dealing with?
There was, Dick, couldn't agree with you more. There was a not widely reported event that occurred this weekend following J.D. Vance's comments at this Munich security conference. That is that the French president reportedly started calling the leaders of many Western European democracies and saying, we need to get together and talk about the Trump problem. And when I saw the headline, the thing that occurred to me was this. When the Western Alliance gathers in a meeting to discuss the resurgence of neo-Nazis, fascism, and dictators, and you're not invited to the meeting, you might be the Nazi, fascist, authoritarian dictator. Part of what has always been a cornerstone of U.S. power and dominance, despite our many historical failings, has been that in moments of tipping point type moments in world history, we have stood up and said, at great sacrifice, our own young men and women, trillions of dollars, that we will try to stand for human dignity, equal treatment under the law, free and open democracies, transparent and accountable governments, that no man is above the rule of law. What is it that we're standing up for now? It's not free speech. I mean, that's why J.D. Vance's entire presentation in Munich was such garbage. Of course it's not free speech. Because Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, all these, the social media swamp, is suppressing all kinds of speech. They're punishing journalists. They want to jail journalists. Trump's media is the public enemy number one. That's not free speech. So what are the values that we stand for? And are we drawing alliances and supporting governments that align with us in those values? Or is there some sort of transactional next level chess game going on? And to whose benefit? I mean, so Musk is running Doge, accessing all kinds of info. Who's auditing the auditors? I mean, I'd like to know, wait a minute, where is Doge on Donald Trump riding around the Daytona 500 in the Beast or golfing nearly one third of the days he's supposedly on the job as he chastises public employees for working from home? You're working from the golf course. Wait, well, like, that made sense? I mean, how many tens of millions of dollars did it cost for Donald Trump to go to the Super Bowl? What's that about? So please, we got to look down a few notches. What they say it's about, let's just assume that's not really what it's about, and then try to assess what's going on here. And I've had this little idea floating around for a long time, and I'm not going to get into it in great detail. But one of the things that I think we're all captured by in this moment, and here's my call to you, my call to action, we're all captured by our own perspective, our own vantage point of the world. And we know that this is a thing. How do we know that this is a thing? That we have a hard time seeing beyond our own blinders. That we have a hard time seeing the big picture. That we have a hard time accepting information that clashes with our own pre-existing beliefs. We know this if we look at the history of map making. Every curious person at one point in time has looked at a map and said, I wonder why Europe's smack dab in the middle. Why is north up and south down and east to the right and west to the left? Who decided this? When and why? And we know from the history of map making that this isn't the way that we always drew our maps. So I think we all need to call on ourselves to continuously challenge the information that we're receiving, to seek out better information, and to challenge our own preconceived notions. So pick the opposite of something that you believe this week and take a little research moment on it. See what it may reveal to you. That's going to do it for me. Dom Salvia is up next. Thanks for being with me on this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go vote! Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The snowstorm belting the Midwest today will be in the Mid-Atlantic region tomorrow. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin.
The snowstorm that we have coming starting early tomorrow morning is going to be severe. It's going to impact a vast majority of the state.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with Russian officials in Saudi Arabia today to talk about Ukraine.
I came away today convinced that they are willing to begin to engage in a serious process to determine how and how quickly and through what mechanism can an end be brought to this war.
Ukrainian and European officials are upset they were left out of today's talks. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency has slashed jobs at the Federal Aviation Administration. Monica was surprised she was furloughed.
I personally did not feel that our positions were at risk for the simple fact that we are in the Flight Standards Safety Division. It says its name, right? Flight and Safety.
CBS News Brief.